Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage. Savage is off. 3-day weekend. He deserves it. Next week's going to be a huge week for him, as Government Zero hits the shelves on Tuesday. Of course, many of you know me. I've filled in for Savage on a few occasions. Always a pleasure. Quite frankly, always an honor to be joining you from the left coast. Speaking to you from KSFO in San Francisco, Michael's flagship station in many ways. He was a guy who started, really, we began the format. I was just a listener then. But in the mid-90s, they began this conservative format. And Michael Savage was new to radio and became a huge hit in San Francisco, and shortly thereafter goes national. And now you know the rest of the story. The number to call, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Don't forget michaelsavage.com for all your new news needs. Sign up for the free Michael Savage newsletter delivered to your inbox. And again, I was just talking to the producers of this program. Michael has written a bunch of books. He's rather prolific when it comes to writing. I wouldn't be surprised personally if Government Zero is his biggest book yet. It will be the biggest bestseller yet. That's my guess. I'm gonna interview him on my program in San Francisco next week, and I can't wait. My day was going well until I heard Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is my representative. Don't hold it against me. We're outnumbered in San Francisco. I think the percentage of people that are registered Democrats in San Francisco is less than 20%. Registered Republicans. Did I say Democrats? Registered Republicans. Less than 10%, 20%. It's a tiny little number. And, you're laughed at. Although it's interesting, isn't it? Because here I am working for an all-conservative lineup on a station based in San Francisco, and we are one of the most popular stations in the entire area. And we're a rallying point for people with a brain in their head and know how to use it. We're a rallying point for right thinkers. Maybe not all Republicans, many decline to states. That's what they call them in California. If you don't want to register with either party, you're a decline to state or a registered independent. Anyway, we get them all. We get them all. We get a lot of disenfranchised Democrats listening as well. But everything was going well until I heard my so-called representative, Nancy Pelosi. She's talking about the Benghazi hearings yesterday. I heard Michael talking about Benghazi. I would agree with him on many levels. In this regard, do you realize, I don't know how many people watched these hearings yesterday. Probably not that many. Let's be realistic. It's work time. People are working. The only people who watched were probably those who are retired and really care, because they've got time on their hands. The majority of those who will vote Democrat, the welfare recipients were watching Jerry Springer. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think anybody watched. And to quote Hillary Clinton, what difference does it make? I mean, it's game, set, match. You're not going to get this administration going out to prosecute her. I understand the FBI is looking, but do you really think now, especially that Joe Biden has decided not to run, that we're going to see pedal to the metal to take her out? I believe Barack Obama sees her as his third term. Hillary Clinton, I'm talking about. So here's Pelosi. Here's Pelosi. Oh, and listen to this. This is coming from one of the great producers here on the Savage Nation, Jim. Lois Lerner's not going to be charged. Do you see what I'm talking about? Lois Lerner's not going to be charged. Hillary Clinton won't be charged. So here's Nancy Pelosi. I can finally get there. She's talking about this Benghazi committee. I thought there were some fascinating moments, quite frankly. And I will applaud those Republicans on the committee. I wasn't sure what to expect. I really wasn't. Because oftentimes when these politicians, both sides of the aisle, get on a committee, there's a lot of grandstanding. And it's a lot of opportunity for them to get in the limelight and make a name for themselves. I have to be honest, I didn't see that yesterday. I was very pleased with what I saw. Now, on the Democrat side of the aisle, it was just carrying the water, demonizing Republicans. This was all much ado about nothing. Oh, the taxpayer money we have wasted on this. By the way, there was an interesting story. I'll get to Pelosi in just a second. There was an interesting story this morning. The Democrats are just crying foul over the amount of money spent on these hearings, right? Something like almost $5 million on the hearings. I personally think it's money well spent, although, again, I don't know what's going to stick. Hillary Clinton takes Teflon capsules. The Clintons take Teflon capsules. They are slippery. They're really, really good at this. Did you see her walk in the room yesterday? She walked into the party like she was walking onto a yacht, to quote a famous song from way back when. I'm serious. She did. She walks in, rock star, media, wild. People with their cell phones taking pictures, happy look on her face, goes to the dais, shakes every hand, although I believe there was one hand she didn't shake. Did any of you notice that? It was that Republican guy who was not wearing a suit coat, a sport coat, any kind of coat. He's just wearing his shirt. And I looked at this guy and I thought, man, that dude looks athletic. I like athletes. I looked at him, I thought, that guy, he looks like an athlete. And then I heard him speak. Well, as Hillary's walking across the dais, I noticed, maybe I missed something, maybe. I don't believe I saw him extend the right hand of fellowship, so to speak, to Hillary Clinton. He gave her eye contact. He let her know what she was in for, but he did not, maybe someone can reaffirm, can correct me on this. I don't think there was a handshake. There wasn't a smile, that's for sure. Hillary comes in, sits down, she's cool, calm, and composed, except for that coughing fit. And she answered the questions in very sly, lawyerly, highly oiled rhetoric fashion. She was actually pretty darn good, diabolically so in my opinion, but pretty darn good. But there was that moment from that guy, his name's Jim Jordan. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it, because it turns out he is an athlete. He's one of the great, all-time great NC2A Division I wrestlers, as it turns out. And he got Hillary into a close one yesterday in terms of just pinning her to the ground. But I will tell you, we learned a few things, didn't we? There were 600 emails from Ambassador Stevens to the State Department requesting more security. Hillary says, I didn't hear about that. You didn't hear about that. You ran that department. You ran that department. You ran that Secretary of State Department. Did I say Social Security? I've been on the air for a long time already this morning, forgive me. But the bottom line is, hey, I get to do 7 hours of radio today. That's a big deal. Can I tell you? 4 a.m, 3 p.m. for Dr. Savage. But the bottom line is this. She ran the State Department, and she didn't know about 600 emails that poured into the State Department from Ambassador Stevens asking for more security? Oh, I didn't know about that. No. The lion's share, she had no idea. I'm thinking, if you don't know what's going on in the State Department, how are you supposed to know what's going on in the United States of America when you become president? This woman is disqualified. Unqualified. Has she ever run for anything? She was given that Senate seat. She was given the State Department position. So we learn that. We also learn more about this Sid Blumenthal character. I'll get to Pelosi in just a moment. We also learned about Sid Blumenthal yesterday. And how the communiques sent from Sid weren't really even his. I mean, he was getting this intel from another source, a source that was not even revealed to the Benghazi committee or to the State Department. Who are these people? Where is she getting this intel from? Isn't that curious to anyone? And then we learn that in emails, even to her own daughter, immediately after the attack, she said that this was a terrorist attack from an Al-Qaeda affiliate. And yet, the very next day, wasn't it? Wasn't it the very next day? We had Susan Rice hitting the TV waves, telling everyone, and this was the meme that the Obama administration set forth for the next 2 weeks. It was because of a YouTube video. Oh, we've got more on that. I can't wait. I cannot wait. But, Pelosi. If you're driving right now, please keep two hands on the wheel. Otherwise, you'll wind up in the center divide. This is Pelosi. She says the Democrats, her Democrats, may quit the Benghazi panel because, well, Clinton's spoken. That's all there is. At the end of the day, this is a disconnect from reality. Take a listen to, sadly, my representative.
Well, it's up to the members of the committee. I've taken my lead from them on it. You know, we had quite a back and forth in our caucus as to whether I should even appoint people. I was very proud of the members that we appointed. I think that they have been outstanding in the 17, 18 months of this investigation. But they may decide that now, defending the truth, their job is done. They want to move on. I have to talk to them and see what risk they see if we would walk away, because you see the distortion, the disconnect with reality that exists on that committee.
Really disconnect from us. Good Lord. Here, you want to disconnect from reality? How about this? Charles Woods, father of Ty Woods, he's one of those four guys that died in Benghazi. We find this out today. So he was defending the CIA annex. So he shared with the media today notes that he took after his encounter with Clinton during the casket ceremony after the bodies were flown back to the United States. And the entry says this. Are you ready for this? I gave Hillary a hug and shook her hand. And she said, we are going to have the filmmaker arrested who was responsible for the death of my son. That's his diary entry. Even though she knew that this attack was at the hands of Al-Qaeda extremists, we're going to blame the filmmaker. Now why? It was September. Barack Hussein Obama was running for president, and he would have an election in just a couple of months. Do you think that might have had something to do with it, huh? Just maybe, huh? All right. Brian Sussman in for the good doctor, Dr. Michael Savage. It's always a pleasure. It's always an honor. The phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. Sussman here on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage. Oh, it's just a great day, isn't it? Great day in America. Now we have Obama gutting the military. And the question, will America ever regain its tough-as-nails military? Will we ever be the military that everyone fears? You know, that's the one thing that I used to be proud of in this country. We had a military nobody wanted to mess with. You didn't want to mess with the United States of America. We come in swiftly. We come in with force. Extremely well-trained. The best of the best. But all that's changing, isn't it, under Barack Hussein Obama? Because today, the Army has disclosed that it's cut 80,000 soldiers since 2010, and they plan to reduce the force by another 40,000 by the end of 2017. So, total active number of troops, 450,000. Nearly every Army installation will experience reductions of some size. You know, a rational human being, seriously, just has to step back from time to time and look at this administration and this president in the White House and say, and what team is he on? Who is he working for here? Who is he working for? Then we also have the $612 billion defense policy bill. He vetoes this. This was his rebuke to the GOP. He's vetoed this sweeping $612 billion defense policy bill. He says the bill resorts to gimmicks, as he calls it. Gimmicks. You want gimmicks? Hey, let's start with the Federal Reserve. That's about as Federal Express. You want gimmicks? Hey, let's talk about the debt in this country and how we're bankrolling this United States of America budget. You want gimmicks? We can talk about that. We can talk about these ridiculous CRs, these continuing resolutions. So Obama opposes the defense bill because it uses creative budget maneuvers, as he calls them, to boost defense spending by $38 billion without increasing domestic spending. So he wants Congress to revise the bill. Doesn't want more defense spending. No, 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 no. Cut the military. Make us weak. Make us vulnerable. You know what's amazing today? And by the way, he also disapproves of provisions in this bill that would make it harder to close Gitmo, which is a brilliant detention facility. It is hugely smart. I want them there so we can interrogate him there rather than bring him in here where they're going to be subject to our U.S. courts, and we'll never be able to get to them. The best thing we have on our hands when it comes to interrogating these prisoners is time. Time. But instead, what do? Oh, we give them back to Qatar, where they can roam about the country with little ankle bracelets on, and we'll swap them out for a traitor and then a Bull Bergdahl. Here is Dan, WMAL. Dan, quickly, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. What I would like to talk about is that defense spending bill. Obama pretty much said, hey, let's give all the terrorists the freedom that they want after hours after they killed a U.S. operator in Iraq. They killed one of our guys in Iraq, and Obama wants to let these people go. Yeah, go ahead, roam free. How about this? You want to free them? You want to shut down Guantanamo Bay? How about we pull all our troops out of Guantanamo Bay and flatten that place with a bomb that we borrow from Iran? We'll borrow a nuke from Iran and level that place, and then give it back to Cuba.
Listen, here's the bottom line. Dan, I thank you for your call, the Savage Nation. The bottom line is, if we're going to do this, we need to do this. We need to take the gloves off, and we need to do business the old-fashioned way, not be concerned about collateral damage and the touchy-feelies. But we're way beyond that, especially with this president, so I don't know what the answer is at this point in time. I can tell you this. An organization, I think, is akin to a terrorist organization. Barack Obama was given kudos to today, Black Lives Matter. You're going to hear that audio coming up on this, The Savage Nation. Also, I highly encourage you, pre-order it. It's going to be in stores. Government Zero, it comes out Tuesday. Can't wait. You can order online now, michaelsavage.com. We still have two and a half hours to go in this endeavor, and I'm looking forward to every second of it. A lot of immigration stories in the news. What border? To our south, there is no border. It's been eroded. And the trouble and the news, and it's getting worse. We'll talk about that right here on this, The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage. Michael Savage's book, I can't wait for this one, Government Zero. I think it's going to be his biggest bestseller ever, personally. But what Savage says in this book is zero leadership, zero strategy against the Islamic State, zero military, zero education, zero culture, right on down the line. I mean, look at the stories today. Zero leadership. Look what we're getting from this White House regarding the biggest issue of the day, as far as I'm concerned, and that's dealing with ISIS. I see the pictures, you see the pictures. I see the video, you see the video. It's frightening. It's another Holocaust taking place before our very eyes. What's he doing? Zero military. Zero military. Look how he's cutting. We just talked about this. Today, it was made known that he's slashing the military budget. Today, he vetoed the military budget brought forth by the House of Representatives. Vetoed it. Zero education. There's a story in the news today. I'll just give you an example of this. There's a story in the news today that there is a resource guide that's being distributed to schools all around the United States via the Department of Education. And it has to do with making sure that all the children in this country illegally are in school. Now, who's going to pay for this? And what does this do to the overall educational quality of our schools? In this article that I'm reading, it's actually a WorldNet Daily article, and it says this, it just in Atlanta alone, there are 21 dialects of Spanish that have to be taught. 21 dialects of Spanish that have to be taught. Some of these Central American children come here and they only speak Mayan. Got to find a translator. The burden that's being placed, so zero education. Now let's just go through this. We have zero leadership, zero strategy against the Islamic State, zero military, zero education, zero culture. That's the goal. That's the goal. Michael's been talking about this forever. Borders, language, culture. Zero. Right on down the line. When that happens, you see a nation destroyed. This is historical. You see, that's the beauty of conservatism, isn't it? We look at the world and its history and say, okay, this worked, this doesn't work, don't ever do that. This worked, we should probably try this. You have to have borders, and they need to be enforced with any nation. God instituted governments to keep us safe. So what happens? You get guys like President Obama and his ilk that are trying to destroy the American ethos with this chaotic, mass, unorganized immigration. Some would say it's actually well organized. They desire to liquidate what? Christianity, for starters. So the American ethos, wipe it out. Christianity, wipe it out. And yet, curiously, at the same time, they believe that they can work with Muslims. Bring them in. Mutual goals. They're all racing towards these ambitions by instituting this massive and chaotic immigration scheme, grossly expanding the welfare state, strategically demonizing Christianity, fostering rampant social agitation. This is where we're going. That's why I want to read Government Zero. Western civilization is at risk. It's true. It's true. So that's Government Zero. And we'll talk more about it. I can't wait to interview Michael on my own show next week. Now listen to this. Listen to this. I see what's coming from this Black Lives Matter movement. I see hatred. I see death. I see cops in the crosshairs getting killed. What, four now in New York City? It's a terrible thing. Black Lives Matter. And they've protested here in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've heard their chants. The anti-police chants, whipping people up into a frenzy to make you believe the police are the bad guys. And so here's Barack Obama. He is saying, he's actually championing the Black Lives Matter movements. This is clip one. Take a listen.
I think the reason that the organizers used the phrase Black Lives Matters was not because they said they were suggesting nobody else's lives matter. Rather, what they were suggesting was there is a specific problem that is happening in the African-American community that's not happening in other communities. And that is a legitimate issue that we've got to address.
Here's what's happening in the African-American communities as I see it. I look at Chicago, where they have some of the strictest, maybe the strictest gun control in the nation. And since the last 4 years, you've had 6,000 shootings. I see the black-on-black crime, the black-on-black murders. That's the problem. That's the problem. You want to cure what ails them in the black community? If we're going to empower anybody, if you want our government to empower anybody, let's empower the pastors, the real Christian pastors who really understand what's going on, to start instilling family values, not welfare values, family values amongst the people. And begin to train them in the Bible so that they can understand and have a moral plumb line whereby they can live properly. If you're going to do anything, that's what I'm saying. Let's give you one more. Are you ready for this? This has to do with, I want to stay one more thing, if I may, on that. Because I'm out here on the left coast. Many of you are in New York City. It's Michael's largest market. You've got this New York police officer dying after being shot in the head while pursuing a suspect. Fourth New York City police officer, right? Fourth murdered in that city in the last 11 months. This, I don't understand. I love our police. And you know what's really amazing, isn't it? When these protesters, when the Black Lives Matter protesters, when all these people that are spitting on the cops and calling them pigs, etc., when they're in trouble, who do they call first? They call for the police. They call for the police. And then here in San Francisco, we've got a situation with these sanctuary cities. Actually, there are 340 sanctuary cities around the country. And these sanctuary cities, I don't feel safe in these sanctuary cities. Because I know, as the case was with that terrible murder we had in San Francisco, which has been very well publicized, those of you who are paying attention to the news and you're listening to this station, this show, so you are. Kate Steinle was the girl's name in July. She's with her parents in a beautiful tourist spot, broad daylight. I would regard this as one of the safest places in San Francisco, quite honestly. And she gets shot in broad daylight by this guy who was purposefully in San Francisco because it's a sanctuary city. It's a sanctuary city. He's purposefully there. So our board of supervisors, Michael coined a phrase years ago. He calls them the board of stupid visors. Our board of supervisors unanimously approved a regulation urging local law enforcement not to comply with federal immigration authority requests. And the sheriff of San Francisco is all for it. Yes, we need to do it. In other words, they want to continue the sanctuary city policy. And when they're in there, it was a unanimous vote by this board of supervisors. And when they had their vote, they all get up there grandstanding. We're not going to listen to conservative media. We're not going to. And then as soon as they say they're going to pass it, the meeting hall erupts in cheers. And I don't know who these people are cheering, but my guess is they're probably not even from San Francisco. If anything, they're representative of various activist groups, because when I talk to people in this city, and I'm sure it's the same wherever you live, we got a ton of liberals in the city of San Francisco. I talk to them, and man to man, they will tell you, man to woman as the case may be, whatever the they will tell you, they don't like the sanctuary city policies either. So why are they doing this to us? Because they love seeing us live in fear. This is heinous. It's absolutely sickening. Dave's calling from WABC in New York. Dave, thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Michael.
Hey, Brian, how are you? Listen, I fully agree with what you said about empowering the pastors. You could see the decline of this nation lines up right with when they started attacking Christianity and taking Bibles out of schools and prayer. We've lost our moral beacon. We've lost the plumb line, like you said before. So now it's, if it feels good, do it. That's the mentality, and that's why this country is suffering so much. We have a president right now that is anti-Christian, amongst other things, and they're really attacking anybody and anyone associated with the God of the Bible. They want to eliminate it from all of society. That's what's going on.
There's no question. They are demonizing Christianity, and they will end up eventually restricting our speech such that no one will be able to speak about the Bible any longer because it's deemed too offensive by the in crowd. That's where we're going with all of this. And we need to have a moral compass. We need the plumb line, as you just mentioned. Dave, WABC, thanks for calling. Well, okay, here's another example, if I may. This is once again Nancy Pelosi, my representative. The House of Representatives is trying, well, they've made some, they're trying to make alterations to Obamacare. And in the process, they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood as they're coming up with a new budget. And here she is talking about the funding of Planned Parenthood, which she says is necessary. And then, no, this is a Catholic woman speaking on behalf of the Pope. She says this is what Pope Francis would want. I mean, basically, that's what she's saying. This is from C-SPAN. Take a listen.
Instead of moving forward with all of the must-do legislation that I mentioned earlier, Republicans are moving forward with a GOP reconciliation package that once again lays the groundwork for another Republican government shutdown. It's a waste of time. It will go nowhere in the Senate.
It'll go nowhere in the Senate, maybe because we have people running the Senate without a spine. But listen to what else she says here. This is clip 19. She actually invokes the spirit of Francis. You ready for this? Clip 19, please.
It doesn't have to be this way. Instead, we could be working together, recognizing a Republican Congress, a Democratic president, the ability for Democrats to use their leverage legislatively to have compromise for the good of the American people. That's what Pope Francis told us to do. He said leaders should have transparency. That would be wonderful. Openness, he said. He used the word openness and pragmatism. And he said we had to move forward for the good of the people.
These people are so reckless. All right, that's enough for her. I'm not Catholic, okay? But I respect those who are good Catholics who walk the talk, all right? I can't help but respect anybody who walks the talk. The bottom line is, she's trying to make you believe that that Pope Francis is one who would say, don't defund Planned Parenthood. That's, she's using fanciful rhetoric to make you believe that's what he would have you to do. Don't defund it. In the name of the Pope. Unbelievable, but not really. That's Nancy Pelosi. I've been watching her for years. Let's go to Justin, speaking to us from the left coast, San Francisco. Justin, we were just talking about these sanctuary city laws, and we've also gotten to a discussion about a lack of a moral compass. Go ahead.
Make a point or two. You almost lost me there with Nancy Pelosi. Once I heard her voice, I was like, oh, I'm out of here.
It's tough to take for everyone across the country, I believe, but go ahead quickly.
Exactly. So I recently went out to dinner down on the Fisherman's Wharf where I used to feel totally, totally comfortable, totally safe, no issue, no care in the world. Was walking to my car, saw a guy. I hate feeling in a sanctuary city, like a gorgeous city like San Francisco, that I have to watch my back now. I don't
have to.
And I was walking. And she looked and felt the same way. And it's like,
Listen, your line's cracking up a little bit, but the bottom line is you do. You feel less safe. And you look at police funding in every city. That's always an issue. Having more police on the streets, always an issue. And now you look at our military and the defunding there. I mean, we're less safe at home. We're less safe in terms of our standing in the world. And all of this is happening under Obama's watch. We're going to talk more about this. I can't wait to hear from you. This is the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman, proud to be filling in.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
Brian Sussman, in for Michael Savage. This is one we've got to unpack a little later in the program. I'm at Savage's website, michaelsavage.com. This is a wild story. Some of you in New York City obviously know who this person is. It's all news to me. Her name is Linda Sarsour, and she's known for her fierce Twitter tirades. And she loves to just unload, especially on American patriots and supporters of Israel. She's an American. American citizen, Muslim activist, ally of Mayor de Blasio. She blasted into the mainstream in August with we should just probably call it a fawning profile published in the New York Times. They call her Linda Sarsour, is a Brooklyn homegirl in a hijab, right? The head covering, is that how you pronounce it? The hijab? 35 years old, mother of three, Palestinian, well, daughter of Palestinian immigrants, arranged marriage at the age of 17. And here's how the White House describes this woman. Are you ready? Here's how Barack Obama's White House describes this woman. Ambitious, outspoken, and independent. Linda shatters stereotypes of Muslim women, also treasuring her religious and ethnic heritage. This is somebody I wouldn't champion. This is somebody I would wish would leave my country. This is a woman who, when Ted Cruz tweeted out, America is and remains a nation built on Judeo-Christian values, she shot back, genocide and slavery. Now, when I think of genocide and slavery, I think of the Muslim world. Perhaps she should fix her attention on what's happening amongst her own people throughout the entire world. But apparently, that isn't how she plays the game. This is a woman who supports violence and supports terrorists. And, get ready for this, according to the article, she receives taxpayer money. She's got an organization she runs that's received city funds. It's New York City. They've totaled $164,000 since 2012. She's also considered running for the Brooklyn City Council. You see, this is where we're going, folks. I guess she would be considered a moderate Muslim, though. You know who came out today saying there's no difference between moderates and radicals? Putin. Putin actually said that. We'll talk about it. Can't wait. Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage. Tuesday's the day, by the way. Tuesday's the day Government Zero comes out. No borders, no language, no culture. Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. Government Zero. No, no, no. No borders, no language, no culture. Savage is sounding the alarm in this book, how the progressives and their cohorts in crime, their cohorts in the destruction of America, the radical Islamists, are each unwittingly working towards similar ends, to destroy Western civilization and remake it in their own respective. This is Government Zero. It's coming out. Order it online. Go to michaelsavage.com. MichaelSavage.com. We were talking, and by the way, we've got a lot to come. Michael's going to be with us next hour, so to speak. This is actually a story that's at WorldNet Daily, entitled We've Lost the Battle. But it has to do with a transcript of Michael on this program, talking about this war over the future of Western civilization is being lost. It's being lost because millions of immigrants from the Middle East, who largely oppose Judeo-Christian values and have no intention of assimilating, are flooding the United States and Britain and France and Germany and other nations. So you're going to hear Savage talk about this in the next hour. But this is that mass, chaotic, systematic, institutionalized immigration that's taking place before our eyes. This is, folks, the fundamental transformation of America. No one took him seriously when he said that, did they? Well, certainly some of us did. But even then, I don't think I had any idea what was about to occur. See, this is a guy who is trying to get even. Get even. He was raised in a cauldron of American hatred, in my opinion. His mother's the lefty world traveler. His father didn't give a rip about the United States of America. Simply came here for an education, then went back to Africa. He was raised in this culture. Then he moved to Indonesia, where, of course, there was this anti-colonialist mentality. Then he comes back to Hawaii, and he becomes a doper and a coker and a midnight toker. And after that, he goes to Occidental, and he has all of these friends with interesting last names from the Middle East. And he journeys to Pakistan. You know, other kids in college on their spring break or summer vacation, they're going to fun places, right? He goes to Pakistan. And to this day, it's very curious how he got there. No one really knows. I don't know if a travel ban was in place, but how do you get there? Did you have an American pass? Well, we don't want to get in the weeds on that. But I think the bigger question is, why would you go there? In 1981, that was a hotbed of hatred and Islamist activity. Why would you go there? So what he's doing right now is fundamentally transforming America before our very eyes. Someone showed me pictures, and again, I'm speaking to you from the left coast, the San Francisco Bay Area. A listener to my show on KSFO in the morning and to Michael Savage's show in the afternoon, she showed me some photographs of this compound in a little town called Freedom, California. It's near Santa Cruz, which is about 85 miles south of San Francisco. She was showing me these photographs, and I knew, you know, her husband's involved in real estate. I'm thinking, what, are you guys planning on buying one of these beautiful apartment it was this beautiful, I'm serious, it was this beautiful complex of buildings that were, I guess they were probably about 8-unit buildings. And there are a bunch of them scattered all about this beautiful property. I thought, well, you guys getting ready to buy one of these buildings? What's the deal? Well, long story short, these were photographs. You couldn't even find so much as a leaf on the ground. It was perfectly manicured. And all the buildings were brand new and just right. Playgrounds, luscious grass. We have a drought here in California. It looked like the grass was green. They were even watering the grass there. No one waters the grass anymore out here. That grass actually looked green. But I said, what is this? They said, this is a refugee camp. This is where they're coming. This is where they're being housed. And I'm thinking, This is better housing than most people in America have. This is the fundamental transfer. This is getting even. This is changing the American ethos. There's not even a scintilla of a wish for these people to assimilate. Do your own thing. Grind down the American ethos. Bring in your own culture. Bring in your own language. Bring in your... This is what's happening. That's why this book by Savage is, I believe, going to be his biggest hit and certainly his most important book yet. I've heard him talk on the radio. He said, this is my last shot. Let's go to Lorraine, WJR. Lorraine, you're on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Brian. I think that the world leaders are in cahoots with each other to make the whole world borderless. I had read that years ago, that there was a secret thing going on about doing away with borders.
Well, I will tell you, Lorraine, Savage is going to be on in a recorded piece a little bit later. What you're going to hear him say is, and I'm going to read it. I'll paraphrase it. He says that German Chancellor Angela Merkel, to your point, is doing to Germany what Obama is doing, what the Prime Minister is doing in England, what the Socialist is doing to France, what Obama is doing to America. They're trying to, George Soros, the Open Border Society, this is what they're trying to do. And why? So this elite crew of incredibly wealthy, mostly atheistic socialists can take over. Oh, that sounds too gargantuan. No one would be that evil. Look at people throughout time. There have always been people like this. Evil dictators who crave power and want to crush the masses. Look what's happening in North Korea. For that matter, look how clever they've been doing it in Cuba all these years. Look around the world. This is happening before our very eyes. The president of Sudan that the little clock boy had that selfie with. I mean, he's a dictator. He's wanted by the international court for terrorism. And he was housing bin Laden, for gosh sakes. Little clock boy meets with him. He's a ruthless SOB. Now we go to Mike, WSBA in Pennsylvania. You know, isn't it interesting, Mike? The only guy standing up to the Muslims right now is the Russian President Putin, who said today there is no difference between a moderate Islamist and a radical Islamist. Your comments, please.
Sure, Brian. He's absolutely correct. And as a matter of fact, he's mentioned the fact that if the Muslims want to come to Russia, they better speak Russia, eat Russian, and down the whole list. We're not going to change our culture for their culture. But I can prove what he said is correct. All you have to do is rewind back to 2001 and put the camera on Jersey City to the so-called moderates cheering as the buildings went down. How's that?
Yep. Well, and I thank you for your call here on the Savage Nation. I learned something listening to this program just the other day, and I'm guessing that Savage talks about it in the book, but I was so curious. He mentioned this in passing, and so I did a little research on it. And this goes to the point of these past callers. And by the way, as you know, the lines are open here on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. But the term is, are you ready for this? The term is, let me find it, because this is very important, and it's what's happening in the United States of America today. It's what happens when a Muslim immigrates to another land. When they immigrate to another land, Hijra, I believe is how you pronounce it, H-I-J-R-A-H, Hijra. It's a special blessing in the Quran for those who immigrate to foreign lands and raise their families amongst the infidel. Hijra apparently means living in the land of disbelief. So you go, and as a sacrifice to Allah, you live in this area where they don't believe. And it's not so much that you're supposed to proselytize those around you. It's, from everything I've been able to read, it's that you're supposed to overpopulate them. That's how you do it. In fact, I'm reminded of Yasser Arafat. Remember Yasser Arafat? He was the guy that ran the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. The guy who currently runs the Palestinian territories, Mahmoud Abbas, whose name used to be Abu Mazen was his name previously. Mazen was the financier for the PLO. Nobody knows that. Now he has a Hugo Boss suit and he looks really sharp. He was the financier for the PLO. Yasser Arafat said this, "We will defeat you with our wombs. We will defeat you with our wombs. We will defeat you with our wombs." So there's a special blessing for those, this is coming from the Quran, who decide to go out there and move to a foreign land. And that's why you see these mosques popping up in very strange cities. I've seen them in beach community. There's a community south of San Francisco called Santa Cruz. It's a surfing community. It's split between surfers and Mexican immigrants, legal and illegal. And there's a mosque. Well, this is the last place you would think that the Muslim would want to be with all the women in their little bikinis walking around. But that's what they're doing. It's a special blessing in the Quran. I will also tell you this, as long as we're on to Islam, there's just one other quote. I tweeted this out earlier today, and it's a quote from John Quincy Adams, you know, the former president of the United States of America. "As the essential principle of Muhammad's faith is the subjugation of others by the sword." As the essential principle of the Muslim faith is the subjugation of others by the sword. They were saying this back in the day, folks. This is a principle. This is a pillar, if you will, of Muhammad's faith, of the Muslim faith, the subjugation of others by the sword. So they defeat you with the womb, and they convert you at the sword. And if that doesn't work, they take it to the next level. They take it to the next level. Let's talk more about this, and I can't wait. 855-400-SAVAGE. Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Savage here on The Savage Nation. Let's talk to Travis. Travis is in South Carolina, WTMA. Travis, thanks for being with us. We're talking about this massive immigration. We're relating a lot of what we're speaking about to Michael's book, which is coming out next week, Government Zero. But in terms of immigration, this chaotic, mass, institutional, illegal immigration, what is this doing in terms of our American ethos? What is this doing to our American culture, Travis?
You know, I don't. I'm really not understanding why we should assimilate to the cultures that are coming in. We're supposed to learn all of their languages, all of their cultures. If you're moving to a country that's better than where you came from, shouldn't you learn the language, learn the culture? If that's truly what you want to do, it's right. Not up to us as Americans to learn your language to help you fit. If you want to live here and you want to do the things that we as American people do, you should learn the culture, learn the language, learn how to assimilate yourself to the society in which American culture is. But right
absolutely.
Now, everybody else is trying to learn Spanish or Arabic or whatever it is, the language that is predominant where everybody wants to learn. I'm sorry. This is America. This is the United States of America. Learn English. Learn our culture. Learn how to operate within the system legally, and you won't.
Absolutely. No, you're right. It's the American citizen who's told, listen, you need to change. You need to adapt. Travis, thanks for your call on the Savage Nation. Well, case in point. We were sharing a bit ago about the Atlanta School District. 21 different dialects of Spanish have to be taught. 21 different dialects of Spanish, let alone the other languages. This is what we're talking about. I was speaking to a friend of mine who is, her heritage is Mexican. Speaking to her earlier this week. Her husband, same thing. When they were raising their kids, they refused to speak Spanish around them. Because they wanted them to learn English, because they wanted them to be able to excel in school, first and foremost. They wanted them to be American. They wanted him to go to great universities. So first things first, it was like, okay, we're bilingual. We know how to speak English. You're speaking English. That's going to be your language of choice. And yes, you will be an American, and you'll be proud of it. And they are. They did an excellent job. Continuing here on the Savage Nation, let's go ahead and speak with Elliot, WABC. Elliot, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Elliot has left the building. Let's continue and go to a lot of great callers. David, WMAL. David, you're about to make a great point. I hope you can do it quickly. Please.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Well, okay, so this fundamental transformation of America didn't start with Obama. It started decades ago, and we're focusing on all these bad things that are happening to us in our country when we really should be looking at how did we get here in the first place and fix that thing, fix what caused us to get here. And I believe that is the way that we have dealt with our children. We've allowed the culture to destroy our families and to take our children and indoctrinate them in secular humanism and atheism. And rather than continue that route, we should then do what God says. And he says we need to be responsible before him with the children that he's given us and teach them and train them up in the way they should go so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. All of these evils that we're complaining about in our society have to do with the breakdown of the family. And if we don't start teaching this generation to walk in the ways that they should go in the ways of the Lord and walk and honor him with their lives, we will never see a recovery,
David,
in our nation.
Spot on. I've got to cut you off because we've got to get moving on. But the breakup of the family, listen, you know, even a religiously diverse society, if it's filled with strong, stable, traditional families, guess what? At the end of the day, it won't need a large, expansive, overreaching, heavy-handed government. It won't. We'll talk more about this, and I can't wait to speak with you as well on this, The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage. By the way, next hour, you're going to hear from the doctor. This is a portion of a recent show where he really breaks down what's happening to this country in terms of especially immigration. But you want a breakdown, Tuesdays when the book comes out, Government Zero. In this book, besides learning about the fact that we have zero leadership, zero strategy against the Islamic State, zero military, zero education, zero culture, I mean, it's all going down the drain before our very eyes. I think of my in-laws, who are both 90, how they've seen America change. Okay, fast forward another 90 years. No, wait, fast forward 40 years. 40 years, that's a generation. Fast forward 40 years. What's it going to be like, my friends? What's it going to be like? That's why Savage in this book has the 40 Actions to Save America. Government Zero comes out Tuesday. Go to michaelsavage.com for more information. Zev is at WABC. Well, at least he's listening on WABC in New York. Now, Zev, we've been talking about the religion of peace quite a bit today. We have President Putin who says there's no difference between a moderate Muslim and a radical Muslim. What say you, sir?
Okay, my take is as follows. First of all, there's no leadership here and abroad. We see that. Vladimir Putin is playing silly putty with Obama, and Obama's absolutely shown no leadership. What is happening, basically, is 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. I certainly believe that there is extremist and radical, and there's also the moderate. Most of them are moderate. 70% would not like to go engage in jihad and wait for 72 virgins to reward them, and that's absolutely true. However, the majority gets plucked into the minority extremist, and they will not be able to withstand it or thwart it or hold it back. Case in point, 9/11. At the 9/11, our good friend Joe Potastic had a round table, and he says, we're going to have a petition of 100 rabbis, 100 clergy of the Christians, and 100 imams saying and signing, we love America, apple pie, and peace. Who's against that? Nobody. We got 100 or 1,000 signatures from all the Jewish and the Christian denominations. However, it came to Islam, we could get not more than 10. What's going on? This is not Iraq. Wow. What are you afraid of? They're afraid to speak up, and that's the problem. So as they get plucked into this vortex of extremism from the radicals, and this is what we hear, and it's really unfair. But yet, where's the silent majority? How come we don't see any protest?
Zev, it's one of those situations they're afraid to speak up because that religion exerts so much power that if you dare speak up, your life in certain parts of the world could be in great jeopardy, correct?
True. True, and that's why you see that in Ramallah, after a certain sick incident of kidnappings or killing or maiming or stabbing 30-year-olds, what they are doing is in the streets of Ramallah and Gaza, as they're giving out sweets and candies, and everybody, every passerby, rolls down the window, takes the sweets, and says, Allahu Akbar. So where does that take you? This is what we are dealing with.
Excellent call. I appreciate you checking in on the Savage Nation. 1.5 billion Muslims. Is it in the Muslim world the way it is in other religious worlds? Christianity, Judaism. I know of those, you know, let's be real. There are a lot of Christians who only go to church on Easter and on Christmas, right? There are a lot of Jewish people who only go to synagogue on the High Holy Days. And they don't really practice much beyond that. They would identify as Christian. They would identify as Jew. But beyond that, you know, whatever. Then you have the more Orthodox of both camps who they're reading the Bible. They're trying to walk out the Bible. They believe in God. They pray to God, etc. Is it like that in Islam? Where you have the various degrees? In other words, a lot of people say, listen, I was just born this way. What the hell? I was just born this way, okay? And then there are others who are more religious, and they're in it to win it, so to speak. Does it work like that? Let's continue here. Here's Obama just speaking of the religion of peace. Are you ready for this? This is Obama. He's hosting the Pakistani prime minister. And he's talking about this extraordinary Pakistani-American relationship, the Pakistani-American community. He actually says they helped build America. Now, this may be news to many of you. You might even be Pakistani and this is news to you. You're saying, what? I helped build America? What? I'm just here on my H-1B visa trying to make a living in engineering. I'm just going to call. I'm helping to build America? This is all news to me. No, that's what Obama said. Of course, he's had a long-standing relationship with Pakistanis ever since 1981 when he was in college and he visited there. This is clip 16. Take a listen.
I should note that we have an extraordinary Pakistani-American community that is helping to build this country, and that those people-to-people ties are part of what makes this relationship so special.
What is he even talking about? He just pulls this stuff out of thin air. Rodney checking in from WBAP. Rodney, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. You know, I spent some years in North Africa, and my father-in-law is actually converted from Islam. He's from that region. And, you know, I think one way to get the new immigrants from the Middle East to assimilate is to tell them first about who they were before they became a conquered people. Islam converted by the sword, and you had civilizations before the conquest. And once they get to know, once they let go of this identity of Islam as something imposed upon them from history, then they're open to hear about the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can learn about other things. But we've got to educate them on who they were before they were a conquered people. And I think that's just critical.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Rodney. I've been thinking about that a lot recently, and again, not to suck up to Savage, but he said something, I think it was either earlier this week or last week, he was talking about Lebanon, and he was talking about how in 1950, and it caused me to start doing some research on what he was discussing, but Lebanon was at one time a Christian-majority country, and in 1950, they made a serious error. They started an immigration process of Syrians and then Palestinians. Legally and illegally, Syrians and Palestinians started flooding their country. And in 25 years, from 1950 to 1975, there was the revolution, and Lebanon becomes a hotbed of hatred. if these people only knew, you know, all these people that converted at the sword in Lebanon, all of these people in Egypt, for example, which was one time a Christian nation, who converted at the sword, if these folks would get back to their roots and see what kind of a culture they originally came from, you're exactly right. Maybe that would cause them to think, I've been hijacked. My family was hijacked into this religion, correct?
You know, and we have to do the same thing with our roots. You know, I'm doing something, we're doing something very special here in Virginia. And I'm talking with delegates at the state level to actually get a resolution put in place where we have a day of recognizing our Christian heritage, because we have a very historic event that happened here in Virginia. In fact, I'm doing an amphibious reenactment of that event. And it all points back to someone coming from Britain, putting a cross on our beach, and praying a very prophetic prayer for this country, that the gospel would go forth. And this happened all before the Jamestown settlement. So we're trying to go back and amongst all this, all these other things going on, to recognize we do have a Christian heritage, and we have to look at that man who was the reverend at the Jamestown settlement and what he did, and how does that make that unique, and the prayer that he prayed for this country. So we have to do the same thing, because we're going to...
Absolutely. And Rodney, I will tell you, I'm rifling through my notes as you speak, and thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. I'm rifling through my notes, so I'll find this. But if you look at the original language of virtually every state constitution. So talking about getting back to your roots, and I know there are many who cringe when they say, this is a Christian nation. Well, without question, it was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. It wasn't founded on the 10 pillars of Islam or the 5 pillars of Islam or whatever it is. It was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But the bottom line, in the constitution, the original constitutions of every state, there is great mention. One of the highlights of each one of the preambles has to do with Christendom, Jesus Christ, the church, etc. So, you know, the focus was at one point in time on religion in this country that was pure, religion that was decent, families that were upright. That's where we were at one point in time. And that's why I mentioned earlier that the family, you can have a strong, religiously diverse society filled with stable traditional families. If you have that, you're not going to need a large government. You're not going to need heavy-handed regulation, the likes of which we say today, because families build strong and nurturing relationships. When you have two parents who love and provide structure, your children are less likely to engage in criminal behavior, are less likely to get involved in promiscuous relationships, are less likely to suffer from emotional disorders, are less likely to get involved with drugs and alcohol. That's just the truth. But we're far from that, and now we have a government that rewards parentless families, rewards the single mom. We have a system in place now where we're getting all these kids coming from Lord knows where and putting them in these camps. Now, I don't know if they ever get reunited with family or what, but it's like these are the biggest foster care organizations on the planet right now. And what happens to these kids when they grow up? These are all valid questions. Okay, let's see here. How's about, well, there's another piece of information here. I could get to the callers, and I will in time. But listen to this. This is kind of going down the same road. This just shows you how far we come. The producers of the program sent me this earlier today, and my head spun off. To Jim and Robert behind the scenes here on the Savage Nation, Jim sends me this. It's from the UK Independent. It's a commentary by a guy named Glenn Wilson, who's apparently done some research. I'm going to read this verbatim. It will blow your mind. You ready for this? Pedophiles do exist, but there are very few of them, and not all are child molesters. It is possible to be attracted to children as a sexual orientation without acting upon those desires. Some of these pedophiles, according to this article, some gravitated towards occupations such as school teacher or social worker, where they could enjoy the company of children without plotting abuse. Many men admit attraction to underage girls, even if they would not consider taking advantage. You see where this is going? I don't know if they still do this in the gay pride parade in your town. They used to in San Francisco. I don't know if they do any longer. There's a group called NAMBLA, the North American Men Boy Love Association. They used to prominently show up in that parade. And as we go down this road, okay, we've already got gay marriage, right? Gay marriage. Hey, gay marriage. Gay LA. Gay marriage. So you know what's next. And there are already people getting ready to bring this into the courts. They don't want just one spouse. I want two. Hey, I'm bisexual. How can you deny me the fact that I like men and women? I should be able to marry both. Or how I love her and I love her. How could you deny me? Come on now. So we're going to go down that road, and then, well, we're consenting. We're consenting. I mean, yeah, I'm 42, and, you know, he's 16, but we're consenting. I say that because in the UK, the legal age of consent is 16. Why wouldn't we go down this road eventually as morality continues to degrade in the United States of America? Just saying. Just saying. Brian Sussman, proud to be filling in for Michael Savage. Don't forget, michaelsavage.com. Hey, you can sign up for the free Savage newsletter by going to michaelsavage.com. It's delivered to your inbox on a regular basis. In a little less than an hour from now, you're going to hear from Michael. This is an article that has actually posted at WorldNet Daily that involves audio from this show where he says some amazing things on where we are in society today. It all ties into his book, which comes out next week, Government Zero. It's The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Savage Nation, Brian Sussman filling in. Oh, this is good. So we were just talking about this. Well, gay marriage, of course, law of the land. I said, so next, obviously, will be bisexual marriage because you'll have a guy who says, listen, I like men and I like women. How can you discriminate against me? Randy's calling from WMAL. Randy, you're a bisexual guy. It seems to me like the federal government's discriminating against you. How dare they say you can't marry a man and a woman?
Yeah, I'm with you, Brian. I don't understand that. As long as the gay couple gets the foot in the door, then all of a sudden I want to come along with my partners and do what we have to do, and if they can't do it, that's the part I don't understand.
Now, Randy, just to be sure, you actually do have a male partner and a female partner, right? As an actual bisexual, you have two people that you're engaged in terms of a relationship, right?
Right, exactly. And they both agree on the three-way marriage also.
Listen, people thought I was probably just being, oh, you're just a radio talk show host popping off. And there are movements around the country to try push this one next. Are you aware of that, Randy?
Sure, I'm aware of it.
Okay, so now, let's continue to go down this path. What about the guy who says, listen, I think I should be able to marry as many women as I would like if it's consensual. What's to stop that? I mean, wouldn't that be a next step, Randy?
Well, that's exactly right. And the first step is a bisexual. First off, I was against gay marriage because I didn't want the government to tell me what was right and what was wrong. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But since they decided to go down that road, then, you know, let's open it up all the way.
Randy from WMAL checking in, and bingo. See, I'm not making this stuff up. Randy, thanks for your call on the Savage Nation. Yeah, that's what we're... So then you just continue taking it down the line, right? And in time, you'll have the pedophile who's now being justified. I shared with you the article a couple minutes ago from The Independent in the UK. And the pedophile's going to say, this is consensual. I mean, it's 16. It's legal in the UK at 16. Savage Nation, Sussman here filling in.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Actually, I wish here he is. It's me, Brian Sussman, filling in for the doctor. Big week for Michael next week. Government Zero comes out on Tuesday. Go to michaelsavage.com. Pre-order the book. It's in the stores on Tuesday. Michael does an in-depth analysis of what's going on and, of course, has a great commentary along with that. But he cuts through the mainstream media, the leftist propaganda, to reveal an all-out attack on our borders and our language and our culture by these progressive travelers who have hijacked public policy, everything from national defense to immigration to education. Government Zero. Government Zero. Government Zero. Government Zero. No government. No border. No language. No culture. No effective government. No leadership. No plan against ISIS. Get the book. Michael Savage. Government Zero. I'm going to get to your calls in just a moment. I can't wait. A lot of great callers on hold, so I know you're listening to me right now. I will get to you. I just have to share this with you. Guys, let's go back to the audio vault here. We played this earlier in the program, but some of you, of course, are just joining us. I'm going to replay a soundbite from earlier. Now there's new information. So here's Obama. He's defending the Black Lives Matter movement, which I say is essentially a terrorist organization. It's a terrorist organization. Have you seen the things that they spew when they're marching? Whipping people up into a frenzy to carry out acts of violence. So here's Obama defending the movement. Defending the movement. Clip two, please.
We as a society, particularly given our history, have to take this seriously. And one of the ways of avoiding the politics of this and losing the moment is everybody just stepping back for a second and understanding that the African-American community is not just making this up. And it's not just something being politicized. It's real. And there's a history behind it. And we have to take it seriously.
This guy is the great divider. He's not a uniter. He's a divider. He's a divider. Remember we had the presidential candidate? Which one of those weaklings was the O'Malley guy? The kind of soft-spoken. Is he still in the race? O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland. Black Lives Matter. Then he said it like this. He tried to say it with great verbose and persuasion immediately. Black Lives Matter. And then he sees the reaction from the crowd. White lives matter. All lives matter. I mean, they just beat him down. No, all lives matter. Every life matters. All President Obama has to do is get in front of the camera and say, knock it off. We will respect the police. All lives matter. We are Americans. Knock it off right now. That's all he has to say. But he won't. He won't because he doesn't believe that. So now I go from there to an article I'm reading, Gateway Pundit, Black Lives Matter protesters with a police escort chant death threats to the police. They've got a police escort in St. Louis. Rally starts at Kleiner Plaza, marches down towards Market Street, towards the police headquarters. They have a police escort along the way, and while they're doing that, they're spewing out violent and even homophobic slurs at the police as they're being escorted. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Okay, I've heard this in San Francisco. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, or actually in Oakland. That's disgusting. So when New York City has its fourth cop shooting in a year, is it any surprise? We've had, what, 25 cops killed this year? See, this is what's happening. We're being attacked on so many fronts. This is the fundamental transformation of America. Hate the police. Divide us so you can conquer us. Hate the police. Bring in the refugees. Chaotic immigration. Open up the border. Make it more like a sieve than ever before. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Now, we've also talked a bit about Islam at michaelsavage.com. You can see the story about Obama's favorite Muslim. She is a woman who's she's called a champion of change on President Obama's website. A champion of change on the White House website. An ambitious, outspoken, independent woman. Shatters the stereotypes of Muslim women. Oh, really? Really? Shatters the stereotype. I'm looking at some of the things that she has said, like this one tweet, the definition of courage, hashtag Palestine. No, I would say that's the definition of barbarism. I see what they're doing right now to the Jews in East Jerusalem. All the videos, I've watched them. I've watched the videos, how to stab a Jew in three easy steps. That's what's happening. Now, last time I was on the Savage Nation, and I always love these opportunities, we got into a discourse regarding Islam and Christianity, and I'm guessing Billy wants to go down that road. Billy, you're going to get on the air now telling me about the evils of Christianity and how there were conversions at the sword, etc. Go ahead. You have your opportunity on national radio. Go ahead.
Yes, because I am Esoteric, which is the original European religion which I practice, which was driven out by Christianity. Where do you suppose Christianity comes from? It does not come from Europe. It comes from the Middle East, the same place that Islam comes from.
It comes from the line of, Christianity comes from the line of Abraham, the same line that produced the Arabs through Ishmael. And, of course, it was the Arabs who were a paganistic people who invented a religion via this prophet Muhammad in the 600s. So that's basically it. But if you remember your history, Billy, if you're still there, it was Christendom. It was the state-sanctioned church. And you can say what you want about how they followed the Bible or not, but it was Christendom, the state-sponsored church, that beat back Islam in its efforts to take over Europe. Are you familiar with that part of the story? Of course you are. Thanks for calling. Rick, WABC, on the Savage Nation. Rick, so we've got all of these refugees coming. We've got lots of, quite frankly, Christian organizations that are taking big bucks to house these people. I had a conversation with an otherwise wonderful Christian gentleman just the other day who says, no, we need to bring them in. We need to show them biblical hospitality. And I'm saying, okay, well, let's bring them in legally and let's bring them in through a process that makes sense so they can assimilate into this country and become a productive part of the American experience. But that's me. What say you, Rick?
Dreaming. You're dreaming. You and I have the exact same view of the whole situation with these supposed quote-unquote refugees that he's planning on taking in. I got curious about it the other night, and I remember this was an event that happened sometime after the World Trade Tower. It was in England. There was several bombings by Muslims, and there was a lecture that I attended at the time by a professor who studies religions. He's somebody from NYU, and he gave a lecture on the Islamic religion, which I'd long forgotten about. I said, let me listen to that thing. That was a good lecture. And when I listened to it, it was really an eye-opener, because they were talking pretty much the same situation as we have now. People were very upset because a lot of people in England had died because of these bombings they had and stuff, and the World Trade Tower thing had happened. He said, do you understand when they kill Christians and when they kill the infidels, what they're doing? He said, they're not killing an enemy as we would as Westerners. If we go into a place and we kill people, we kill them because they're not. They're trying to help the people that they kill. They view the ones they set on fire, the ones they drowned and photographed, the ones they do all these horrendous beheadings and all these abominations that they do. They're viewing that these are helpless souls locked in the grips of Satan, and they're liberating them. They are helping them. It's a godly thing for them to do. And I said, listen, I said, how much of people believe that? I said, because you've got these people that are active terrorists, they call them, but there's a whole bunch of supposedly peaceful Muslims that live in this country. And he said, I'll tell you something. He said, a very dear friend of mine is a Muslim, and I posed the same question to him once. He said, how many people, because I know there's like a very small, less than 10%, or maybe less than 5%, or less than 1% of all Muslims in the world are actually like Qaeda or the ones that are in Syria right now. How many other, the other Muslims, the regular Muslims, are sympathetic towards them? He said, what, and his Muslim friend said, what do you think? He said, I would guess like 10% of people that go along with the status quo of wherever they're living are sympathetic to what, even though they're not doing these, they're not jihadists, but they're sympathetic to what they're doing. He said, I guess about 10%. He said, you're horribly naive. He said, it's more like 70%.
70% are in agreement with what the radicals are doing.
70%, they're here and they're practicing. They're saying, oh, we love the Western ways. We're much more freer than we are under Sharia law. And they're just, waiting as they have from the 7th century forward. When Sharia law takes over and the radicals get everything the way they want it, establish their caliphate or whatever they're calling it.
Right.
Then they'll welcome it. They'll welcome it.
It kind of reminds me, and thanks so much for your call. It's great to hear from you on this, the Savage Nation. It reminds me of a friend that I was speaking with one time I was speaking to her once about Lebanon, where she's from, and she was a Christian in Lebanon. And again, we had a very, very large population of Christians pre-1975. And it was a very progressive, wonderful, beautiful country pre-75. And she said, many of her neighbors were Muslims, and her family were, real devout Christian people. And then the revolution began in 75, and the bombs were going off. And she said, it was just amazing. She said, it was almost like there was this silent noise in the sky. Her friendly Muslim neighbors, people that she had, gone to school with and played with in the yard, etc., suddenly it was as if the demonic horns came out of their foreheads and they had imaginary pitchforks and they became as evil as the radicals. She said it was as if there was just something that magically happened that awakened them at that moment that called them to become as radical as the radicals. Now, listen, that's just one woman's story, but why wouldn't I believe her, I ask you, on this, the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling, it's always a pleasure, as you know. Dr. Savage is going to join us. You'll hear that coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Savage Nation. It's going to be a very, very important segment. You'll have it upcoming right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COR.
Brian Sussman in for Michael Savage. In just a few minutes, you're going to hear Michael talking about this major battle, this epic battle in the war over the future of Western civilization and how it's been lost. And it's really going to tie into his book, Government Zero. So stay tuned for that. Some of the other stories in the news today, and there's just a lot of important stuff. Obama's continuing to gut the military. Do you realize since 2010, the Army came out today, they've cut 80,000 soldiers since 2010. They're going to reduce the force by another 40,000. Nearly every Army installation is going to experience reductions of some size. We had a caller earlier we didn't get to have on the program who said, yeah, and you know what is happening in this reduction process? There are a lot of guys who are the very best and brightest who are being fired, and a lot of guys who are the very best and brightest said, I'm out of here. I can't take it. I can't take using our troops as a social experiment. I'm talking about sexual orientation, for example. They're out. They're gone. Then Obama, $612 billion defense policy bill, vetoes it. This is totally partisan. This was a rebuke to the GOP. Then we find out that Obama today vetoed the pay raises for our troops. If there's anybody on the planet that should be getting a raise, it's our troops. I know they don't do this for the money, but it's very difficult for a guy with a family to be in the military these days. They need to make more money. They need a retirement system. I mean, you got slackers coming to this country. Slackers. They might come into this country legally, but they never really work a day in their life. They just get right on the dole. Can we admit that's the definition of a slacker? Please, can we at least admit that? Other countries, you try to immigrate, they want to make sure you're not going to be a public charge. Here, public charge, sure, we want you on the dole because that way we can control you. And the DOJ, Obama's DOJ, drops the IRS probe with Lois Lerner. Drops the whole thing. So those are some of the stories we've been following. John is calling from KSFO in the liberal belly of the beast, San Francisco. John quickly... Oh, John dropped. John dropped. John dropped. John dropped. The other thing that was mentioned today by Obama is he is really upset that the House wants to make it more difficult for him to close Guantanamo Bay. Can we go to Ed quickly, WABC? Ed, just a couple seconds. Go ahead, please. You've been holding for some time.
Yeah, no problem, Brian. I just want you to know, to talk about Guantanamo Bay. I mean, the majority of the dialogue concerning Gitmo has really concentrated on the detainees, the prisoners. But very, very few times does it mention anything as a loss of a military strategic point, which
right.
It's
hugely strategic because, John, I mean, Ed, who would love to be able to move into that location? Russia. Come on, let's be plain and simple about this. Russia would love to be there. Thanks for your call on the Savage Nation. You're going to hear the voice of Dr. Savage coming right up on this, the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation. Well, you're going to hear the voice of Savage right now. This is from his Tuesday broadcast. It's become a story at WorldNet Daily. It's getting a lot of reaction, as it should. Has to do with his book, which comes out Tuesday, Government Zero. Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. That's the subtitle. It includes a lot of great information, cutting edge, great commentary, 40 Actions to Save America, including the private sector and the state and the local government. But Savage received an email from someone that he describes as being far smarter than I and very far-seeing. Let's pick it up as Dr. Savage describes the email in question.
I got an email from someone this morning who's far smarter than I am. Not easy for me to say that because I believe in myself. I have tremendous belief in myself. I work very hard to believe in that. But I know some few people who are smarter than me, particularly one. And he looks ahead. He's more far-seeing than I am. And he said to me, it's over. He said, what Merkel is doing to Germany, what the weakling is doing to England, what the socialist is doing to France, what Obama the psychopath is doing to America, will render this country non-existent in less than 50 years. And I said to him, maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong, but the fact of the matter is the world is changing in ways you can never imagine. And think more particularly about what I said to you, in case you missed it. Hitler was a psychopath. No one on earth would disagree with that except Nazis who still exist. What did Hitler do? He invaded other countries to impose his nation's, let us say, distorted values and race upon other countries. That's a given. What is Obama doing? He's invading his own country with people of other races and other cultures and other languages to wipe away the predominant language, the predominant culture of his own nation. He is equally mad to Barack. Obama is as equally as mad as Adolf Hitler in that regard. Write it down. Maybe it'll make it to CNN. Talk show host says Obama as crazy as Hitler because he's invading his own country with foreigners. But they better get the whole quote correct. And I don't know if they're capable of it. What Merkel is doing is invading Germany with foreigners. She's invading her own nation. Has anybody on earth seen this the way I do? No. And that's why I'm here today. I'm here today for a reason. The reason is to try to awaken you. I know it's very late in the cycle. I've realized it's extremely late in the process. I realize that many of us have been sounding the clarion call for years. Not just me alone, many of us. but we've lost the battle. You don't understand this. We have lost the battle. And all you could do now is prepare for the tsunami of foreigners, of illegal aliens, of those opposed to Christianity and Judaism, that the psychopaths who are ruining America are rushing across the borders as quickly as they can to make certain that the white male in particular no longer has a voice in his own nation. I will stand by those words. I swear on them on a stack of Bibles. I said we've lost the battle. And people are calling like crazy, saying things such as, Richard on WBAP, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Make your point, please.
God bless you, Michael. I don't believe that you've thrown up your hands. You're the best voice of what's going on.
Well, Richard, I think I should have clarified. Richard, you're right for calling me up on that statement. But notice what I said. I said we've lost the battle. Did I say we've lost the war?
Very good. We haven't lost the war.
Did I say we lost the war, but we lost this battle? And that is because the most brilliant political science commander in American history is running their war for them. With the most powerful will I've seen in my lifetime, a single-minded maniac, a psychopath in the White House, has destroyed virtually everything I just mentioned on this program. But we haven't lost the war. The war has just begun. Because 30 million to 40 million Americans have finally awakened to what the psychopath has done to this country, and they want to stop him from doing more. They want to stop him before it's too late. Am I wrong about that, or am I right about that?
You're right about that.
Well, we know that it's not Paul Lyon Ryan who's going to stop him. I named him that last night on my Facebook account, Paul Lyon Ryan. Isn't it astonishing that Harry Reid supports him, Barbara Boxer supports him, Barack Obama supports him, John Boehner supports him? What more do you need to know than what I told you when Ryan appeared on the stage? And by the way, I was the first one. Remember when they ushered him out of nowhere to run with Mitt, weak-willed Romney? Remember that? When Mitt Milquetoast Romney was running. Remember when they floated Paul Ryan, what I said? He's a nobody. He's a quisling. Watch out for him. I was the only one who saw right through Paul Ryan. Thanks for calling. Copy of Government Zero goes out to you. Why? Because I said we've lost the battle, but did I say we've lost the war? The answer is no. Because I have a program, a plan to save America. And I'm not going to read it to you now. But I have an entire chapter on saving a nation. And there's a chapter, and there are points on how to save the nation. There is a plan. There's a battle plan in the book. It's not just fluff. It's not like most books that end with nothing other than a screed and a scream. I have a plan. I have a plan that begins. I'll start with a few of them. 40 actions to save America. And it runs from page 313 right to the end of the book. 40 actions to save America. I've given you the top 40 to come to my mind as most urgent in 2015-16. And I want you to note that not all of these actions have to do with the federal government. Some should be accomplished at the state or local levels. Some should be accomplished outside of any governments at all. There is much that we can do in the private sector with the choices we make and the power we have over those who want to influence those choices. We have tremendous power. 40 actions to save America. 1, start a nationalist party. I don't mean for 2016. Start a nationalist party. 2, close the borders completely for 7 years. 3, deport all illegal aliens in American prisons. Make sure that when you quote me, you add the American prisons. 4, repeal the Anchor Babies Law. 5, make English the official language of the United States. 6, require government-issued ID to vote. 7, reintroduce civics classes to elementary and secondary schools. 8, restore to active duty all military officers purged by Obama. Offer them a generous bonus as an incentive to return. 9, restore physical standards in the military. 10, restructure military spending. 11, cut the rest of government significantly. 12, repair our relations with Russia. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm giving you 12 of the 40 points, 40 actions to save America. You can read the rest of them yourself by reading Government Zero. Actions, actions, actions speak louder than words, words, words. Can you name one Republican candidate who actually has 40 actions to save America? I don't know of any. Even Donald Trump, who I strongly support, I haven't heard 40 actions to save America. I'm sure I could write them for him. I'm sure his staff has already gotten a copy of my book. I hope so, because there's gold in there. There's enough gold in Government Zero for Mr. Trump to run right to the presidency with. And when he does win, we might just be able to convince the people around them to save the country by instituting those 40 actions to save America. We just might be able to do it. I don't know, though. I don't know what's going to happen. The problem is once somebody wins, they have to run a country. And to run a country, they have to hire people. And once they hire people, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, people are very deceptive to get a job. You get it? Look what we did when we put the Republicans in power during the last election. And I count myself as one of the most important influencers on getting the Republican power back. I remember when Stop the Coming Civil War came out, I went on the air exactly a year ago, and I begged you to vote. I said, most of you won't vote. You're diehard conservatives. You're fed up with the Republican Party. And I said, hold your noses and please go out and vote. There was, yes, it was a low turnout comparatively, but there was a very high turnout amongst conservatives. You don't know that. That's something that the boys on CNN haven't figured out yet. The conservative turnout in the last election was extremely high because of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. And I said, after we put the Republicans back in power, we're going to lobby them to do what we want done. Well, we lobbied them and we got the opposite. They stabbed us in the back. The Quislings, Boehner, McConnell, etc. Ryan, put him in the pack. They stabbed us in the back. They cut the conservative heart out. So when Trump wins, there's no guarantee that he's going to appoint people who will actually act out what the people have been screaming for.
Savage.
So that was Michael Savage Tuesday on the broadcast. Brian Sussman filling in. He's talking about, of course, an email from someone he highly respects who told him, Michael, we've lost the battle. And he ties all that into the new book, Government Zero. But you have to note what he said right off the top. Yes, we've lost the battle. We've lost probably more than just one. We've lost them on many fronts, and this has been going on for quite some time. But we haven't lost the war. That's the hope. We haven't lost the war. There's still hope. I love these 40 action points. It's not just words, it's action in this book. But listen to some of these. I mean, how could... I've just never understood how anybody with a rational mind could possibly defend the anchor baby policy that we have in this country. How could you do that? Do you know, it doesn't apply to diplomats. So when an ambassador from, you name the country, comes to the United States and has a kid, he's not a U.S. citizen. It shouldn't... You're here as a tourist. It doesn't matter. Your kid should not be an American citizen. And now we've got an entire tourist industry, so to speak, that's been set up with people coming from all over the world, spending time in sometimes very nice hotels with a concierge doctor. And bingo, they have the baby. It's a citizen of the United States of America. That is crazy. Slip across the border, 7 months pregnant. Walk into a hospital in San Diego, spit out a child. Hey, an American. Chain migration ensues. That's nuts. That's got to stop. Deport the illegal aliens in our American prisons. Hello. Stop all immigration for 7 years. I believe that there was a time in our American history where we did cease immigration, so that there would be an opportunity for people to assimilate. That's the idea. Assimilate. Okay? Your culture may be really, really important to you, and I'm sure your family lineage is wonderful, and you've been on the genealogy website. That's all cool. I love that. That's wonderful. But can I tell you, you're in America. It's got to be American first, like so many of our fathers and mothers and grandparents. They came, they were so proud to be American. We need to get that spirit back. And the Nationalist Party. The Nationalist Party. House supporting the Republican Party on the national level been working out for you lately. Just asking the question. I know I'm speaking to people all over the United States right now. In some of the various states, your Republican Party is really doing a great job. At the local level, state level, Republican Party in certain states is just fantastic. Here in California, we may as well not even have a Republican Party. I don't know how Republicans ever going to be elected to statewide office ever again. I mean, it's such an uphill battle the way the system is rigged. I mean, now in California, we've got everyone has motor voter. We've taken it up a notch. California, we are going to flood the rolls of those getting their licenses with non-citizens because we have a bill that was signed by Jerry Brown. This new Motor Voter Act, that's what it's called, automatically registers to vote all eligible voters. All you have to do is, doesn't matter who, you're Citizen, non-citizen. Doesn't matter. Illegals. Illegals can even get driver's licenses. That's right. Those here illegally can actually get a driver's license. Now, you sign up. There is no mechanism in place to determine whether you are a citizen or not. It's basically going to open up the floodgates for everyone to automatically be registered to vote unless you opt out. Automatically be registered to vote unless you opt out. The deck is so stacked. These are the things that have to be stopped. They have to be stopped. Yes, we've lost some battles. We have not lost the war. That's where you need to take hope. You want to comment on what Michael had to say? I highly encourage you to give a call. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. Don't forget michaelsavage.com for all your news needs. And you can go to michaelsavage.com to sign up for his free Savage newsletter and Government Zero. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation. One of the things I love, you know, I get to speak to people, for the most part, from the San Francisco Bay Area every morning on my program on KSFO, but when I get behind Savage's mic, I get to talk to people from all over the United States. One of them, Ron, WFTL Florida. Ron, quickly, please. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call, first-time caller. I just wanted to share with you how the immigrants can double-dip on the anchor baby. Here in Florida, as you can might know, the Cubans are speeded very, very differently than most immigrants in the country. They get pretty much what they want. But recently I read an article in the paper that a young woman from Cuba came here to have the baby. Not only was she having the baby so the baby could get all the benefits that we freely give them, but she stated that the father of the child was her 85-year-old uncle who lived in Miami. So now when the uncle dies, which will be soon, the baby will also get his Social Security. It's out of control.
And to that you say there ought to be a law, and to that you say Savage is right, because in the book that comes out next week, Government Zero, one of the things that he really proclaims in no uncertain terms is we've got to get rid of this anchor baby thing. Ron, that's outlandish. So it was the uncle of this girl that is the father?
Oh, she said that the uncle was the father, so it's just, if and when he dies, the baby will also get
security
till he's 18. So she lied, but they're scheming. So on top of scheming to get the money from having the baby.
They're scheming, and they're well-coached. I mean, you can go to all these resource centers that are set up all over the United States, and they're not resource centers for people who have been in this country for generations. These are resource centers for those, generally speaking, who have come to this country on the down low, and they coach them on how to just take advantage and pick the pockets of we the people have been working our tuchuses off for all these years, paying our taxes. Unbelievable. But not really. This is where we are. We've lost some battles. We're not going to lose the war. Take hope. And make sure you have a great weekend. And make sure you get a copy of Mike's book, Government Zero. Go to michaelsavage.com for all your news needs throughout the course of the weekend. It's always a pleasure, always an honor. Guys in the back, Robert, Jim, thank you very much. Other than my producer, Sherry, in San Francisco, you guys are the best. How could I be the man when you're clearly the producer man? Thank you guys very much. Savage back next week. This is Brian Sussman on this, The Savage Nation.